You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, welcome to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host, and with me is my boy Tom Callahan. Good to see you, Tom. You have no idea how much I missed you Friday.
It's good to be back, Steve. Job security, we call it.
Yes, yes. I'm putting in a raise for you too, just to see what happens.
Nice.
What's going on there on a Monday? We have a big show today. At least I like to think so. We have a professional basketball coach in Mexico. He's a Tucsonan, actually. He's coaching in Mexico. He's in Mazatlan somewhere. We'll get an idea of where he's exactly at. But they started their season. They actually played a couple of games. And then, lo and behold, guess what? They stopped him.
Is that a thing? Is that happening right now?
Well, basketball or starting and stopping stuff. So I was surprised that they actually started, and then they put two or three games into it. They pulled the plug, and now he's stuck in Mexico at Mazatlan. Where better places to get stuck?
There are probably worse places, too.
Yeah, worse to get stuck. And better. Yes, Cabo, you know, something.
Yeah, but, you know, if the sun is shining and it's warm like it is here, Steve,
Is there a beach here?
Well, there's sand.
There's sand?
Everywhere.
And just get the hose, water hose, and we'll be drinking for that anyway.
Yeah, a little kiddie pool.
Yeah, perfect. So he's calling in about 6:15, see what is going on there because of the coronavirus situation. And then at 6:32-ish, I'm going to have U of A track coach Fred Harvey, now that we know that the Olympic Games are going to be postponed for the 2020 season. He's a frequent goer of the Olympic Games. I've seen him there a couple times. I was in Australia and Greece, and he was coaching his team or his people, individuals. I think he was scheduled to go. We'll see what he says. And in addition to that, talk to him about the spring schedule for track and field and how that impacts the scholarship limits and people wanting to come back for next year. Obviously, we've seen that the NCAA is going to approve the scholarships for the spring sport people like softball, baseball, track, and those type of sports.
And it'll be interesting, Steve, because obviously life happens to everybody between now and then.
Yes.
Some people you think might come back and might say right now, yes, I'm coming back in the fall. Things happen between now
and then.
Sure,
you get a job. Real life happens. I was reading a story yesterday, and you were with me last week when I talked to former AD Rocky LaRose, right? And we talked about the expense, and she didn't know what the expense was going to be.
Sure.
Scholarship-wise.
Yeah.
Well, I saw in a story, I think it was yesterday or over the weekend, that each school at the level that Arizona is at could cost close to, if not a half $1 million.
Wow.
Yeah, because you're looking at a number of different students, room and board, all that good stuff, and it's about $500,000 for the number of people coming back or would want to come back. About 300 or 400,000 for Division II, III, stuff like that. It ain't cheap, is it?
Times how many hundreds of schools, thousands of schools.
Right, so they have to come up, where are they going to come up with that money? They're already, that's the funny thing, everyone thinks that all the schools have money. Not so much. Not so much. In fact, when you're struggling like Arizona with coaches that you have to continue to pay, like the Rich Rods and others, you don't have money. You rely on your boosters.
That's why people think schools have money, because they throw $6 million at a coach.
Right, right, right. And the TV revenue and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Arizona's Pac-12, it's not very good.
Yeah.
Along with the rest of the Pac-12, it's not good. Not like the SEC and ESPN and all that. So it may appear that way, but this good-looking man or good-looking girl has a blemish on her face.
And that's tough, you know, because everything has its warts.
Yes.
And now you're seeing them.
Well, look at that guy. He's a good looking guy. Oh, he's got a drinking problem. Or you know what I'm saying.
Two hands, one mouth. That's a drinking problem. Two hands, one mouth.
Yeah. That was good. Is that a saying I've never heard before?
You know what? That's a buddy of mine used to say it in college, and it just got stuck in my head.
Oh, that was his problem.
He always used to say that, and I'm like, Gary, you're a fool. But okay, man.
And it's still with you 30 years later, 20
it, it
years
It is.
Later.
It stuck with me.
Yeah, okay. If anybody wants to call, they can, 790-2040. It's a call. the calling number, as the old folks say. Call me at this number, 790-2040. But I have Brian Simonian calling in pretty soon. And I'm sure you're going to have some good music for me this hour, Tom.
I am. I got some stuff lined up here for you.
You're going to surprise me?
I don't know, Steve. I fear your wrath when I try to surprise you. But
no, you've only messed up once.
That's you know what?
I asked for your resignation and you're still here.
Yeah. Well, I'm harder to get rid of than that.
Everybody here is. Tenure, man. Tenure.
I don't have any of that.
Well, then you get out of here. You're
pretty
gone.
Much.
I guess they didn't get the memo.
The only thing I have going for me is trying to be good at this job. So, yeah. I mean, if you're unhappy with me, that's not cool.
So we got, 10 days into this, maybe almost 2 weeks of non-sports or no sports?
Have you adjusted?
Oh, I don't really care about sports. It's funny because I was watching yesterday on Sunday. My son had been here for a week or so from the Army, and I was watching the NCAA championship games. You know, they played them on a consecutive things on CBS. And he says, Dad, for a guy who doesn't like sports, you're still watching a lot of them. It was just the championship games of the Final Four because I've been to a number of them. That's what was on the tube. So it was what it was. But I'm not missing it at all because, one, I don't have to write about the games. I don't have to write about the stories behind the games, and I'm okay with it. And so I'll just take a peek every now and again and see what I have when it comes to sports. We have about 3 minutes. I think I'm not sure what we're going to do here. We do get a call. Oh, he's on the phone, Brian?
Yep, Brian is on the phone. So okay. If you want to take a quick break, Steve, we can...
Yeah, let's take a quick break and then get back with Brian here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. And now on the phone, I have a good friend, Brian Simonian, not a head coach, but a coach at the Mexican League in the pro level. How are you, Brian?
Hey, Steve, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Hey, how's Mazatlan? Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm quote-unquote stuck in Mazatlan. Not a bad place to hopefully wait this out and see how things blow over. A week ago today is when the league announced that they're going to suspend all games. The league is the Ciba Copa League. Most teams have played 2 to 3 games. And then they put a date, though, that they're going to start the games on April 20th. That's when we're looking to restart here. But as of last week, all games are suspended. But hopefully we'll get back going here soon.
I was surprised that you actually even started a couple of games and then it came grounded to a halt.
Yeah, we were all kind of keeping a side eye on it for sure. I think this league was one of the last ones to kind of go, as the world, compared to the world, Mexico is one of the last ones to kind of shut things down sports-wise. And then the schools just this week shut down as well. So, I think it's one of the last countries to kind of come on board, but it's definitely the right decision at this time.
So tell me, because we're kind of naive to only being in the United States. We know China's situation and we know South Korea's and some of the other countries. But what's the word out down there, out in Mexico, where you're at?
It's still state by state. So I know Sonora and Baja were one of the first ones to kind of, you know, cut the border and close things down in the schools. I'm down in the state of Jalisco, which is next to Sinaloa, another large state, and it's very state by state. So it's right now we're at Mazatlan, the state. Everything's open. The schools are still open. The restaurants and so forth. There hasn't been cases here in the state. The nearby state, which has a big city, Guadalajara, there's been, I think, 30 cases, and I think they had their first death from corona just recently. So it's been very minimal in the states around, and here in Mazatlan, things are operating as normal. So I think that's part of the reason why the basketball league here, which mostly here in the southern part of Mexico, is one of the last ones to kind of shut their doors.
So it's not a sense of panic. It's kind of just not business as usual either.
Yeah, exactly. Like the construction on the streets is still going. People are staying inside for the most part. But like you said, not quite the panic. The schools are still open, except for the universities, because those kind of go state to state and cross those borders. But like the local schools, the private schools are still open. Like you said, just not quite the panic. I actually live pretty close to a Sam's Club and a Walmart, and I went there just the other day, and it was empty. And as far as people go, there's plenty of supplies,
including toilet paper.
Oh, yep. And there wasn't even a guard at the toilet paper. So it's definitely different times down here. And I'm very fortunate to be, quote unquote, I keep saying, that stuck down here.
So I know what I want for Christmas, Brian. You better go shop for some.
Yeah, send me a list. I'll get the supplies needed for sure.
I'll send you a list. You better check it twice. Hey, tell me the level of pro basketball you're coaching right now, and to the people that would be, you know, familiar with college and pro basketball here.
Yeah, you know, the Ceiba Copa was a big part of the reason why I came down here back to the west side, the southwest side from New York, is because the level of play and the level of pay for the players is rivals the G League. And this year, the Ceiba Copa rules were even different in that they had 7 Americans per team, whereas last year they had 4 Americans per team. So our roster included 2 players with NBA experience. The latest one is Jordan Adams, who we know from UCLA with All Pac-12.
Oh yeah,
he had a stint with Memphis. And he was, you know, one of our primetime scorers in the first 2 games and in our preseason. Gavin White is a veteran. He's actually from Phoenix. Reggie coached him in the D-League. So it's kind of funny working with Gavin again. I worked with him with Reggie in the D-League. So he's on the team as well. We have a player from Rutgers who played all over Europe and France. We have a player from Wichita State, Carl Hall, who went to, you know, the Elite Eight. And a player from North Carolina, Jalik Felton. So our roster is very stacked, and everybody in the team is very, very similar in their experience, major Division I colleges, and professional experience worldwide.
So the roster is, what, 12, 13?
Yeah, there's 12 that can be on the roster, and there's also a rule with this league that the second quarter there has to be, for each team, a 21 and under player. There's a reason for that. The grassroots here, there really isn't interscholastic sports. So the high schools don't play each other. The universities kind of do, but even not all the universities have teams. So that's very sporadic. So this league puts that rule in there for that age bracket. So we end up having about 5 of them at practice, 21 and unders, to help develop the local players.
Wow. Wow. Are you obligated to play a certain number of Mexican players at any point in the game?
Well, that's a really good question. That's how it is normally internationally, and even with this league years past, where even though it was 4 Americans on the roster last year, you can only have 2, and then the what I call the hybrid, where it's a dual citizenship, it's a Mexican-American. So that's how it's been in the past. But this year, there was no rule. So besides that second quarter, where we had to play the 21 and under, we can play as many extranjeros, as they're called here, the foreigners, as much as we want.
So give me the names of the, remember, 2-3 stars.
You know, what's interesting is this league is so established. The stars are the fellows that have been here a really long time. So Jordan Williams, who we just played with Gigantes, he's averaging over 30 points a game. And mind you, this is a 40-minute game. And he really took us to it. That's who we played the first 2 games. And planning for him every night, he still gave us 30 points. And, you know, we have Jordan Adams, who's also an elite scorer there at UCLA and a top NBA prospect for most of his career. So those 2 guys are super outstanding athletes that I got exposed to immediately in having to scout against and also game plan and put Jordan in the right spots to score.
Right, right. So the first guy, where did he play at?
Jordan Williams.
Yes,
man, he's been all over the country. I believe he played in the Big Ten.
Okay,
but he's been all over Mexico, and the other rosters are just stacked with Division I players, Division I scholarship athletes. Like I mentioned before, it's 7 per team this year, and the budgets are pretty deep. The contracts are very similar to the G League as far as the monthly pay. And most of the cities, like Mazatlan, it's Guaymas, it's Hermosillo, it's Los Mochis, it's La Paz. These are all beach cities. So the accommodations are second to none when you're living in, you know, Mexican beach paradise.
So did they recommend you stay there until the season starts again, or you can come back if you want?
Yeah, they sent all the players home. They mostly were worried about the border closure. I chose to stay. It was my personal choice. Just try to see things blow over. They did say that they wanted the league to start at April 20th, but that means then like a new preseason would start around the 10th. So it doesn't really give much time for me to fill my time while I'm down here.
Right. Well, it gives you time now to work on your tan. Habla Espanol to the chicas, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, the second part for sure. The Habla Espanol. I got my books, and you know, the team president, the other assistant coaches, they only speak Spanish. So I'm definitely expanding my vocabulary, and I've been sitting tight next to the beach, like you say, working on my tan and studying my Spanish.
Well, you guys are already ahead of the NBA and the rest of the leagues because they don't know when they're going to start one, and it must not be, this is a stupid thing for me to say, but it must not that be that big of a deal right now with everything going on to you, them down there.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I've noticed. They've already, the league, kind of keeping an eye on other leagues that have started up, like China League is starting up, the Korean League starting up, Spain put a date on their league. So it's, they're definitely watching the trend. And like you said, it bodes well that we were kind of the last ones to close down. I think they would want to get things back up again. And sports is an opiate, you know what I mean? I'm sure everybody's really craving. I know I'm craving that the opportunity to compete, the opportunity to be in the arena and cheer and jeer with your friends. And I think that's definitely something we all need right now.
Yeah, no question. I think the one thing that people miss is that adrenaline rush, that love for the game and the competitive nature, especially the guys. Because if that's what you've been doing all your life and then it's taken away from you, what do you miss? Of course you miss that.
Yeah, it's definitely, the like you said, the adrenaline rush. You're striving, you're reaching for something maybe beyond yourself, and being part of, on the fan side, being part of something bigger than yourself is definitely, I think everybody's kind of feeling the weight of that, so that now we're kind of in quarantine there in the States.
So what about the coaches? Any famous coach there? Besides you, of course?
Well, I'm super lucky to, my head coach is James Penny. And James was if he went to TCU, he was part of a 12 versus 5
upset.
And he's been down in Mexico playing in the two top leagues, Cibacopa and La Liga, for 16 years. This is his third year as a head coach. The last 2 years, he was head coach in Tijuana. And Tijuana, the only reason why they didn't bring him back is they made a power play, and they got coach Henry Bibby. So Henry Bibby is the coach of the Tijuana Zonkies this season.
Yeah, well, we know that name, you know, from Mike, his dad, coach at USC.
USC at the time, yeah. So the level of play, the level of coaches, the audience, the budgets, I was super impressed with the Cibacopa before I came down here. It was part of the kind of the master plan, and I'm very lucky to be part of this league and this organization down here.
You'll be like that guy on spring break, just kind of hanging by the beach and kind of, you know, hey, yo, what's up?
Man, I'm so grateful, so lucky. And to kind of piggyback that, talking about sports, the Venados basketball has only been part of the Venados brand for 3 years. The Venados brand is an established AAA level baseball team, Venados, that's been around for 60 years. And they've won 15 championships in the top baseball level in all Mexico. And plenty of major leaguers came through the Venados, including Fernando Valenzuela of Valenzuela. So the Venados brand is a very established brand, and basketball became part of them just 3 years ago. So once again, I'm super lucky to be part of the Venados sport family here in Mazatlan.
Very nice. And you get to live your dream out of being a coach, maybe hoping that this catches the attention of somebody else in the States or whatever.
Yep, that's exactly the idea. Do a good job here for as long as I'd like and level up like many of the other players are trying to do.
Right. Well, Brian, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. Took you away from sun over there, but have a good time in the next few weeks.
All right. No, I appreciate you. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, let's keep in touch.
Okay. Love. Yeah, good luck to you the rest of the way. We'll hear from you. Thank you, Brian. Take care. That was Brian Simonian, of Tucsonan, now in Mexico, on Mazatlan, waiting for them to start their season in a month.
That's something, isn't it?
Isn't it kind of strange where everybody's kind of panic here in the States, and panic is the right word? Am I wrong?
No, I think that's about right.
And then down there is kind of, yo, okay, let's kind of wade this out.
Yeah. I mean, the pucker factor is high here, and there are myriad reasons for it.
Sure.
And one of it is because we're such a huge nation and we have all these different media sources and everything going on, and social media doesn't help either. It's very telling to me that China is going to start their league back up, and Korea,
right,
two of the early epicenters of this outbreak,
right, just
are already setting a date to start again.
Just 3 or 4 months after the start of this.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they must feel that within their containment curve, they're on the backside of that now and can see kind of the end to the real important period of time in which you have to be incredibly aware. It'll still be around.
Sure.
But maybe just not as crazy rampant.
Gives people some hope that you can get back to normalcy.
Sure.
Yeah.
My question is, are they going to play with fans or without fans?
Right, right. I would assume, I don't know. It's still too early. It's a month away. Seems like just around the corner, but it's a month away. Still a while.
Yeah, and we won't know the answer to that one, you know?
No. But it's a good sign that they're going to go play. I mean, I was surprised that they actually played a couple of games before it was stopped. That was after the fact that the NBA had already stopped.
Right. Well, that's part of my question too, Steve, is when is the NBA, the NHL, MLS, MLB, right, NASCAR?
We could be talking about a lot of nothing in the next few months.
Yeah.
That's why I have good guests, so we could talk about other things than sports.
Well, you know what? And there's always going to be sports to talk about. The NFL is proving that right now.
Oh, yeah.
They are stealing the spotlight
with
free agency.
The Tom Brady movement.
Yeah.
All those other guys, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not a big guy like that. I don't really care. I'm not a fantasy player, blah, blah, blah. I get it. I know the hype. But, okay, we're here in what, March, talking about this?
Yeah.
All right.
The NFL is a 365-day machine. It never sleeps.
Yes. Let's go to break here real quick here on 1030 The Voice. Come back on the other side. Hey, welcome back to Why on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. And now on the phone, I have the esteemed track coach from the U of A, Fred Harvey. How are you, Fred?
Hey, I'm hanging in there, making the best of a very tough situation.
Right, right. I tried to reach you, I think it was last week, if not a little longer than that, and you were coming back from New Mexico from a track meet. How difficult was that trip back in terms of the kids knowing that it was pretty much over for the semester?
Yeah, it's a really tough pill, to swallow. It's you know, when you're literally there on site and you're about to begin, a championship, and we went literally all through the stages of packet pickup and all of those things that precede the competition, and then at that point it was decided and definitely in the best interest, in my opinion, of the health of the young people and officials and coaches to not go on with the competition. It was and then we made a decision rather than flying back through the airports, we being so close, we had an opportunity to get a charter bus and just have our team on the bus and avoid more contact.
Right. Very smart. Very smart. I know that the team and the situation's over the season, but how did that help with team bonding, if you can do that in track?
Well, yeah, and that's, we're doing a lot of that in terms of just making sure that we're communicating, on a continuous basis, with the team. What's a little different now is that when we actually are in season and we're competing, we have, kind of different pockets of training groups. Your throwers are going at one time, sprinters are going at a different time. And so sometimes you kind of miss that full communication,
yeah, mm-hmm,
with the team. But now what we're seeing is that, one, I'm communicating on a daily basis, probably to a point of annoyance, folks that, just getting information and making sure that, we're, doing the best job we can to handle it.
I'm sure one of the things that the kids thought about, and maybe you thought about it, was the scholarship return for the seniors that have missed this year or going to miss this year. And it kind of quickly turned into that, where I guess the seniors will be allowed to come back if they choose to.
Well, you know, and honestly, that is still really a work in progress. There's nothing that's written in confirmed that that's exactly what's going to happen. It's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of, you know, presidents and administrators, athletic directors that are definitely on board and pushing for that. But, you know, our and my best policy in life, until it's in writing and,
right.
and we see that, it's still something that, you know, very, very fluent and, because it, you know, there's a lot of positives to it, a lot of positives to it, but and you know, for some may not see it the same way.
Right. No, in fact, Tom and I were talking about that before the show or when the show started, that you might have a few people who said, you know what, my time has come and gone. I'm just going to move on with my life.
Yeah, oh, no, absolutely. And for me, and it's just always been my, you know, my policy and personality that I'm not making decisions, in terms of career direction. To, you know, you have to do this. If,
right.
I'm going to give every athlete all the information needed, give my opinion based upon my experience, and then allow them and their parents or loved ones to make a decision.
Right, no question. How many kids would it affect, both men and women?
Well, we're looking at approximately 12 to 13, both men and women, that would affect in our program.
Yeah, I talked to Rocky LaRose last week about all this stuff, how much it would cost, and she said it would depend and all that. Then I saw a story over the weekend where it could take or cost teams or schools like U of A, you know, the Division One, the Big Five schools, maybe $500,000 if people choose to come back.
Yeah, and that's going to be another point of conversation. Just on the surface, there's no question in spirit, it is the right thing to do. You know, no question about it. But the question has to be answered. Okay, well, where does that money come from?
Right, right. No, it's not like you're going to buy your kids a Christmas present and you want to buy it, but you can't afford it, so you don't get it.
Yeah. That is true.
My kids don't get the present they want, there, friend. It's what I can afford. No, but I joke about it, but it's very serious. So, you know, I guess time will tell about that, but it's not just you guys. It's baseball. It's softball. It's a number of sports that these sports mean everything to the kids.
Yeah, I mean, it's so overarching. And once you think that you have one thing figured out, there's another layer of the onion that's there. It's like, oh, whoa, well, we didn't think about that. And so, you know, you talk about these things all the time, that there's these unintended consequences that, you know, that happen with, you know, certain decisions. And this is, you know, it's one that I don't think there's ever going to be a perfect solution,
right.
A perfect answer. You
right.
know? And so you just have to, you know, step back. It's like the decisions that are being made right now. It, you know, it's infuriating to some people, but it is for the best of, you know, of our society, and we have to, you know, make the best decision with the information that we have, and sometimes it's, you know, no one's going to agree upon it.
Right. No, it's not a solution for everybody, maybe for some people. In fact, I wanted to have you on the show specifically because I'm sure you've gone to the Olympic Games. I saw you, in fact, in Greece and Australia. I think I saw you. I can remember seeing you at one of those at least. And you've been to how many straight? I'm sure a number.
Oh, my! I've been to, well, since 2000. Since 96.
Mm-hmm. So every
since 1996. I'm sorry, 96 on
Atlanta on, yes, because you have because you're a fan or because you had somebody competing.
Because I have people competing.
Yeah. Okay. So what does this do if they come back in 2021 in terms of, okay, are you ready for now 2020? Or 2020, you're ready for 2020, and then all of a sudden it's been delayed a year. Is there an advantage to that in terms of being athletically prepared?
Well, I mean, there's going to be a population where this absolutely benefits them, and I will give a scenario right now as it pertains to one young lady who I train, is Georgianne Molina.
Yes, yeah, good example.
So she right now does not have an Olympic qualifying standard nor an Olympic trial standard because she sat last year out with foot surgery. company, they canceled all competition pretty much up until if we were to have an Olympic trials. She doesn't have a standard. How does she get an opportunity to be able to qualify for the trial, let alone for the games? So now what happens, again, there's a lot of conversation as to, you know, what direction they're going to go. It's going to be postponed, or it's going to be postponed, whether it's going to be in 21. Well, for a person like Georgianne, and this is, you know, I'm guilty, 100% self-serving in this situation. Mm-hmm. It really allows her now to continue a training pattern, be able to, you know, her foot is healed, but, you know, again, it, you know, it gives her another year now to be able to you know, qualify for the games. Now, it does hurt some individuals who, you know, this was it for them. This is their last Olympic Games. It'd be interesting to see what happens with, well, Abdi already made the team.
Mm-hmm.
So that's again now, but he's going to be another year older. So in terms of shooting for the medals, you know, you're another year older now, but he's already on the team. But what about if that person was, say, Abdi, and they want to try to make the 10,000 meter team, now we're going to push it a year further? Yeah, it makes it a little tough on the old guys.
Right. No, I get it. It's good for some and not good for others, or, you know, whatever, vice versa.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
but
no.
At the end of the day, for me, it's just, you know, the way I feel, we have to look out for the welfare, of our society and, you know, and everybody involved in it. And boy, those are hard decisions that are being made.
Right. I'm sure it wasn't a shock to you that they're going to do that, though.
No, it wasn't. It just, you know, again, the Olympic Games have not been canceled or postponed officially, but you can see, you know, if you're paying attention and you're looking at, you know, the trend of what's happening with, you know, with the virus in our country and other countries, logic tells you, it's like, I don't see how that's possible.
Right, right. In fact, I had talked to you, I don't know, a few months ago, when I said, if I can try to get Georgina on the show, and I'm going to ask you to maybe find her for me. You'll be my producer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, is that cool? I'll talk to you again. Hey, let's talk real quick about the NFL, because I know you're a big NFL guy and a Pittsburgh guy. You must be absolutely thrilled that Tom Brady won't be playing against Pittsburgh anytime.
Well, you know, some people like that, but you know what? I don't like excuses. Okay? Yeah. Well, you beat them because they didn't have Tom Brady. Oh, you know what? That doesn't sit well with me. I need to beat the best with the best. You know, but you know, they didn't lose Belichick. Yeah, I know he doesn't throw the ball, and I know he doesn't, but as a coach, I have all the respect in the world for what that man has done to build that team and what the Kraft family has done to be able to allow that greatness to continue to grow, you know, for such a long period of time. You have the Patriots, you have the Steelers, you have these organizations that they do it year after year after year, and it's not rocket science in my mind how they do it. I mean, it's a common thread.
Mm-hmm. And what about your team? With Ben back, you think you're going to be any better?
Oh, I think we're going to be tremendously better, because I think the young defense is going to be a year, you know, year more experience. Ben looks to be healthy. And I know people, you know, quarterbacks get too much credit when they win, and too much criticism, you know, when they lose. But the fact of the matter is, when you have an experienced quarterback like that, like a Brady, you know, you can't fool those guys.
Right.
You can kind of scheme it whatever way you want, and they have that ability to figure out, you know, where the openings are at. And when you have a guy like a Ben Roethlisberger that can extend the play and has a rocket of an arm like that, it's scary.
Right, no question. Hey, let me go back real quick to the team. So it'll affect Georgina, but anybody else? You have the shot put guy who set school records and did really well. He's from the Pittsburgh area too, isn't he? Or Pennsylvania?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
did he have a chance?
He's a Steeler. Well, he definitely had a chance. I mean, was this his year? You know, the shot put in our country right now, arguably outside of the 400 hurdles and the 100 hurdles, is the top event area in the entire world. So you're looking at for Jordan to have made the team, you know, he would have probably had to have thrown over 72 feet, you know, in order to make the team. You know, but did he have a shot? Absolutely. But you know, he's young. He is more focused than, you know, any athlete I think I've seen in a long, long time. And you know, so he, you know, he's going to stay on cue, and when his turn comes around, he's going to be ready.
Great. Well, Coach, I appreciate you coming on.
No, definitely my pleasure.
And we'll try to get you on. Maybe we can talk shop. We can get into the office, and we can kind of just smack a lot about sports, just sports in general.
I'd love to do it.
Okay, thank you, Coach. That was Fred Harvey.
All right.
Take care.
Bear down. Go Cats.
Great. Thank you, Fred Harvey, coach for the track team at U of A. Let's take a break here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera, and with me is Tom Callahan, working the tunes. There's a couple of good tunes there in the mix. Thank you, Tom. Working your magic with all the arms you got there.
You didn't even say anything about my Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I did. Well, sorry for not noticing, but I love Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I do too. I love Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah, we got to get probably some more. That was the only one that we have, right? September?
That was September, yeah. Oh. I mean, I can dig up Earth, Wind, and Fire all day long.
Yeah, okay, cool. We might just have an Earth, Wind, and Fire day.
It's possible.
Saw them in concert a year ago in Phoenix.
Really? Are they still jamming out pretty good?
Yeah.
Really?
Bailey, what's his name?
Philip Bailey.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
He was the head guy, so it was good.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. Because you know, some bands lose it.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. Kind of, you know, not like you and me, but yeah.
We'll never lose it.
Yeah, we'll never lose it. Yeah, I lost it, found it, and lost it again. And still haven't found it. But it's good to talk to Mr. Fred Harvey. I like Fred. Heck of a coach. We've known each other for about 30-some years. We talked about the last time I showed up in 87, and he was about that time. And he was an assistant under Jim Murray, or Coach Murray. And here we are still trying to figure out a way. You know how that is.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's figuring out a way now.
Yeah.
It's crazy times.
Well, you know, it's funny, Steve, talking earlier with Brian Simone and how, where he's at, no one's really freaking out.
Right.
Everybody's just seeing what's going to happen and no one's going crazy. And here, I think so many people have hit the panic button and trying to alarm everybody. You know, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's a boy who cried wolf, because there's definitely something going on. Yeah. But it just, your response could be a lot different and a lot calmer.
How can I say this? It's alarming, yes. My whole thing is, when it affects you, then it affects you.
Yeah.
Until then, you say, oh, okay, it's nothing. And then all of a sudden, your mom's sick, your dad's sick. You say, well, how could this be happening? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's my big thing.
Right.
Yeah, you don't know until it hits you. Did you see the first story that you passed over the top? ESPN, because they have nothing better to do, and I'm not criticizing them, just saying, they did their top 25, or their too early top 25 in basketball.
Top 25.
Where do you think Arizona landed? Don't peek, don't cheat.
Okay, I won't, but they're not on it.
Yeah, you knew already, didn't you?
No, I didn't, but how could they possibly
they're
be
not
on it?
They're not even close to being on it.
How could they?
They're not even the top 30, you know, others to watch.
Steve, they're a 500 basketball team.
I totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. I mean, everyone says, well, they're going to have a pretty good team next year. Oh, okay. What does that mean? What does that mean?
Nothing to me.
Not a darn thing.
It doesn't mean anything to me.
Didn't they tell you this year they're going to be pretty good?
Yeah.
How'd it go?
Hey, this was one of the best shooting teams Sean Miller's ever had.
We saw
how that worked out.
The guy asked the question, and he said, yeah, I thought so too. That's why I asked the question. I just wanted him to agree.
Right.
And that pooped the pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a frustrating year.
Do you want to go over the list real quick, or at least the top five, 10?
Yeah, let's go to Villanova.
Villanova's number one.
And they've won a few championships in the last few years. I think they're now a basketball school. And what do I say about this program here? Is it still a basketball school? You haven't been to the Final Four since 2001.
by default, it still is. If your fan base thinks you are, I think you are.
Oh, God.
That's what matters.
If that's the case, I think I'm a good-looking man.
There you go. Your fan base thinks you're good-looking. That's what
perfect.
Matters.
That's the fan base of one.
Yeah. Okay. By the way, I remember when Villanova was good in the 80s.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was a while back. Yeah. It's, Carter Seca. I was with the white guy, white hair. Crazy, cried all the time. Italian.
Yes. I could see his face.
Yeah, me too. Massimino.
Raleigh Massimino. Yeah.
Yes, okay. Number two guess. You'd never guess.
I'm shocked by
Creighton,
this.
Creighton Blue Jays.
Number two.
Yes, they got a lot of people coming back, so that's the reason why. Played really well at the end of the year. Guess number three. I think, and people in Tucson could shoot me, run me over on the street if they see me, whatever. Gonzaga is the new Arizona in the last 10, 15 years.
That's fair.
And they're number three.
Yeah.
Don't you think it's fair? You have no dog in the fight.
No, I don't.
Neither do mm-hmm. I. I'm just kind of putting... pencil to paper and
look
saying,
Gonzaga has built a powerhouse program.
Yes,
they are constantly ranked, they are drawing talent, they are competitive every single year, they are a threat to make a run at least to the Elite Eight every year.
Could you insert Arizona in that statement you just made?
No, not for 20 years.
But you could have.
Oh, 20 years ago.
Not anymore.
Right.
Exactly what you said. You say have a chance to make the Elite Eight, draws major talent, can get to the blah blah blah, has. You could have said Arizona, but not anymore. Not anymore. Gonzaga.
So I just strengthened your argument
yes,
for you.
Yes, no question.
You're welcome.
Your Honor, thank you very much.
Yes.
Okay, let's go Baylor, of course. Come back with a lot of people. It's going to be a while before you see some Pac-12 teams, so keep going. Kentucky, number five, but they have a bunch of NBA guys. So forget Dukes, number six. Kind of Iowa with one of the best players in the conference or in the country, Luke Garza.
Is he coming back, you think?
They're not sure yet. That's why they have him there anyway. He was I did the wooden ballot yesterday for a deadline for today. I think I had him as number two or three in my list with the Kansas guy as the number one player of the year.
How much is this whole delayed NBA season going to mess with guys maybe coming out, not coming out?
Could be. It could affect Arizona. I'm not going to give anybody hope, but it could. It could.
Because, I mean, the draft is not going to happen until later or so you think. I don't know. It's weird because the timeline will be so convoluted mm-hmm. for everything. You can hold the draft without having anybody around.
Sure.
As long as you know who's declared.
Right. Virginia, Michigan State, Kansas.
That rounds out your top 10.
And North Carolina, Texas Tech, Ohio State, Tennessee.
Man, Tennessee.
Wisconsin.
14. All right.
Wisconsin, Houston, Kelvin Sampson, San Diego State, another West Coast team, played very well this year, obviously disappointed that they couldn't prove themselves in the tournament.
They're another team, Steve, that I think is quietly creeping up the ranks and mm-hmm. building something there.
Yeah, Fisher had them going pretty well, and the new coach, at least the replacement for Fisher, is doing the same thing. No Pac-12 teams.
No.
LSU.
A couple SECs already.
Michigan.
In
there. Arkansas surprised me. And here we go, 21, Buffalo, Colorado, with the whole, with everybody pretty much back
right.
next year. So Colorado, which is kind of surprising the Pac-12 because they're never at the top of the Pac-12.
Right.
Okay. Florida State. Okay, now Oregon. So it's Colorado, Oregon, top two teams, West Virginia and Richmond. So only two teams in the Pac-12. Arizona's.
And they're, look, and then they're outside the top 20.
Next in line, ASU. Well, I think some people in Arizona fans would just maybe keeled over.
Yeah. Arizona State, UCLA, Rutgers, Florida, and Indiana are the next in line teams.
That is not a typo.
No, it's not. And Arizona State, I mean, I don't know what school they are, but Arizona State, I would say, to me, outside looking in, I haven't lived here my whole life, so shoot me if I'm wrong, I think they'd be more inclined to say they're a football school.
Yes.
Soon, they're going to be a hockey school.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Their Division I hockey team
uh-huh.
is incredible.
Oh, really?
It's 5 years now. They probably would have made the NCAA tournament again this year. They've been ranked the last 2 years. They made the NCAA tournament last year, and it's only 16 teams.
I didn't even know they had a... I thought it was a club team.
It was, and it went D1 now 5 years ago. They suffered through three kind of building years. In year four, when they weren't supposed to, they were nationally ranked. they made the tournament at the end of the year, and this year I think they were going to make the tournament again, and now they're building and building. They're getting some big-name recruits in there. Steve, it could be that the next title won at the Division I level by a major program at Arizona State is by the hockey team.
Wow. Because the wrestling is obviously very good.
Right.
And I didn't even know hockey was a real sport, not a club sport.
Right. No, I understand what you mean. No, they went Division I not long ago, so it hasn't been a long time.
So they don't play Arizona anymore.
Their club team does. So they still have ACHA club team, yes. So, and which is a tremendous rivalry. Holy cow, are those games fun.
Well, I remember that. I do remember that. That's why I was surprised that they had a Division I team.
Yeah, those games are a lot of fun.
So, I guess in looking at the top 25, not that ESPN is the holy grail of anything.
Right.
But that's what Arizona fans have to look at. They're not in the top 25 to begin the year. They're not even maybe the top four teams next year. This is with Sean Miller as the coach and a pretty good returning cast.
Are they in the top half of the Pac-12 even?
I would say yes. Top five, top six. Yeah. Yeah. And that's sad to say that they're that low. But it's called reality, isn't it?
Sure.
And we'll see what happens. There's a lot of things going on. Sean, the HBO special, I guess March 30th, March 31st, I think.
Yeah, they bumped it back a little bit. But yeah, by the end of the month, that'll be out.
That'll come out. I don't think anything's going to come from that. I think we've already talked about it, haven't we? Briefly.
So here's the one reason why I think it may have more of an impact than we would normally say is because there's nothing else going on right now. So that's going to be the loudest thing in college basketball for a week.
True. And then you'll have the naysayers who say the naysayers.
Sure.
And the positive people who say nothing came from it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, if you're a Sean Miller supporter and you're in his corner, won't matter to you. And if you're a Sean Miller hater and you want the guy gone, you're going to put that up as yet another reason.
Right, right. And it happens every day on Twitter and all that stuff.
So. Sure it does.
So we'll have to deal with it some more. And then I think when the NCAA comes calling, and we know they are, at some point, that's when
that's what matters.
The stuff hits the fan.
Yes, that's what matters.
If it's enough that hits the fan.
True.
Well, good to see you, Tom. I guess we'll see you tomorrow.
We survived another weekend.
Same.
I'll be here.
Same time, same bat channel. Tomorrow I'm going to have KBOA, David Kelly, talking about the scheme.
Okay.
You're on 1030 The Voice. Thanks.